If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Carlos Duque is the preschool director at Nature Forward, where he leads the Nature Preschool program and partners with educators and families to create a meaningful learning experiences rooted in play, curiosity, and daily connection with the natural world. As an educator and school leader, with more than a decade of experience, Carlos believes that childhood belongs outdoors. He is a passionate advocate for nature-based education and believes that nature is not an occasional destination, but an essential part of healthy childhood. His work centers on giving children the time, freedom, and trust to explore, take thoughtful risks, build confidence, and develop a genuine sense of belonging in the natural world. Carlos often says that connection comes before conservation. He believes that children protect what they know and love, and that lifelong environmental stewardship begins with joyful, everyday experiences in nature, not fear, guilt, or obligation. As an outdoors kid himself, Carlos still finds his greatest joy outside, gardening, trail running, biking, exploring parks and botanical gardens. He also serves on the board of City Blossoms, where he supports creative child-centered learning through kid-driven gardens. Without further ado, Carlos.
Hello, Carlos. I'm so thrilled that you are here. We have the most amazing podcast episode coming up. And so I just want to jump right in. So, Carlos, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your path that led you from Miami to Washington, D.C., and eventually to leading the Nature Forward preschool?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, Victoria. I'm so excited to be here. It's a great question and something I've been thinking about, right? Because I initially thought that I got into nature-based learning after becoming an educator. But then thinking about my time in Miami, you know, I was so lucky to spend so much time outdoors. I had an older brother that was just 2 years older than me, and I grew up in a neighborhood full of kids my age. So I spent, you know, all day outside, right? You know, even at school, you know, the weather in Miami, it's pretty temperate all year long. And then when I was growing up in Miami, it was hot, but it wasn't too hot. So I just spent all day, all of my free time that I can think of outside, exploring on my own and with neighborhood kids. And then I grew up in Miami, and while I was studying in college, I worked in an aftercare program. And I have to admit, at first, it was because it worked with the schedule. You know, I'd go to school during the day, and then, you know, I'd work at a clothing store or at an aftercare program in the afternoons. But then in college, I was studying cultural anthropology and just learned so much by doing some, you know, in-depth studies and research on, you know, people over time. And then I came across an awesome school in D.C. that's called Capital City. It's a public charter school that's part of a larger network where children learn as social scientists. And then so I came to D.C. and came to teach at this specific school where I was also fortunate there. It was somewhat luck that the focus for the pre-K program was gardens. So it was a mixed age program, 3 and 4 year olds. And so we would study plants in the garden 1 year and then critters in the garden the second year for those kids that started at 3 and then stayed with us for their for their second year of pre-K. And yeah, that's what brought me to DC. And that was in 2012. And since then, I think I've gotten more and more outdoors and, you know, learn more about nature-based education and continue to get deeper into that.
It's incredible. It's really fun to think about in your journey. Was there one childhood memory that planted the seed that you might think that kind of drew you to this journey when you were a child?
Yeah. And again, this is me thinking back to it. But I would say it wasn't just one experience, but just the opportunity to just be outdoors without direction. Mm. Like when I think about just, you know, I'll be in my backyard, or I didn't have a really big yard, but even in the front yard, there was one tree that I would climb. And there were times I would climb the tree and just stay on top of the tree for a while, right? And so I think, like when I look at the kids that I work with now, and I think about, you know, watching them be looking at one rock, or watching them, you know, investigating a stump for so long, that brings me back to my childhood. And I think it's one of the most important things is just like lingering and being able to be outdoors and connect over extended periods of uninterrupted time.
I love, love, love. So you've been a preschool teacher, a kindergarten teacher, a librarian, a camp counselor, and now you're the preschool director of this very large program in DC, which is really neat. So what has each role taught you about children? I mean, they're very different scenario, even being in a library versus being in a kindergarten program.
Totally.
What's that taught you about children?
That's a great question. I think I'm, you know, I'm in the mind, like I'm focused a lot on nature, on the outdoors, right? And so that's like where my answers go to first. But what your question leads me to is thinking about how curious kids are, right? You know, I feel like in pre-K and kindergarten programs and summer camp programs, right, it's really easy to be outdoors. It's really easy, you know, to play. But I think about when I was a librarian, as a librarian, I taught 3 to 10-year-olds, right? The lower school was pre-K through fourth grade. And that curiosity continues. Like I think about how even the oldest kids, right, the third and fourth graders would gravitate so much to picture books, or, you know, would, you know, check out these really big encyclopedias, really to look at, you know, the amazing world that existed outside of the library and outside of books. And it also reminds me of how, you know, how early childhood education, like we often think of it as just pre-K and kindergarten, but it really goes up to third grade and beyond, right? Like even like middle schoolers are still very little kids that are, you know, super excited about the smallest bugs, or, you know, get really excited, you know, about a change in weather, or, you know, a storm coming. And just that curiosity and that sense of wonder that I thought might be a little bit limited, you know, in a library space, you know, wasn't. And it was really the kids that would, you know, look for these books and, you know, self-select what they wanted to, you know, read and learn about. And yeah, kids are, even when they're older kids, they're still young and curious and excited about the natural world and each other. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. So my next question is sort of why nature, and why do you believe children really need nature more than ever now?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one that I come back to it often. And, you know, I have to admit, when I first started to think about this question, I went to this place of nostalgia. Like I thought a lot about how much I loved my childhood and how much I wanted and want for the young kids that I work with to also love that. And there is still a part of that, you know, like when I see kids, you know, doing something that I did when I was younger, you know, it is nostalgic and is really awesome. But then it goes a little bit further for me, where I strongly believe that climate change is, you know, the biggest, if not one of the biggest factors that are, you know, gonna affect our young people and, you know, the people that I work with the most. And I think about how, you know, how important it is to help young children. I'm talking about, you know, preschool and kindergarten, but then you know, even a little bit older, just really connect with nature and give them those opportunities to fall in love with a plant or a bug or a space. Because I think oftentimes, you know, with good intentions, a lot of what we can talk about, you know, around the reason to conserve and save could come from a place of guilt, you know, like we really need to do, you know, we need to help the bees because, you know, we need them to pollinate. We're not going to have enough food. You know, we need to take care of this space because, you know, if we don't, then it's going to go away. And I think those are real and important. But I think first we can teach kids to love the outdoors, right? And to love nature, right? Because then when we talk about, you know, a bug that could go extinct because, you know, this habitat is leaving, then they already love that bug. They've already seen that bug. They've seen that bug's eggs and they've seen that bug dead. And so I think it's that, like, it's so important to connect kids to nature for that. You know, I think I've been teaching here in DC since 2012, and some of the kids that I first taught are now in high school or, you know, almost graduating. And I think about all the things that we did together and how many of them might love to, you know, preserve an outdoor space because they first loved, you know, how the grass felt, you know, when they read the book in that space, or, you know, how the water sounded when they were going to visit, you know, a stream or, and so, yeah, that was the long answer.
But no, I love
kids to love it first, right? Before they,
yeah, because then they can become advocates. I mean, that's the whole thing is that we, that's the whole, the umbrella, I think, is that we really want these kids to, then really it's not these kids, it's the next generation of children to fall in love with it. There's no other word for it, to really fall in love with nature. And how can we, as the adults and parents and children and leaders and whatnot, create an environment where that can be? And your program is doing just that. So can you tell us a little bit more about how, you know, how you're answering this question in your program and a little bit more about your program?
Absolutely. You know, the main thing is, you know, we use an emergent curriculum where children, you know, we focus and we build our curriculum around what children are interested in, right? And given that we, the nature preschool is, it's located at this wooden sanctuary, which is 40 acres of a sanctuary, right? And so children are leading and influencing the curriculum, but we are inviting them into, you know, this outdoor classroom, right? And so it's just every day, you know, taking the kids out and then exposing them, right, to what is out there, you know, pointing things out. I mean, I would say that they probably are better at pointing things out than we are. Their little eyes see everything. But it's bringing them out. And then also part of this emergent curriculum is that they could decide and choose and influence what they're learning about, right? And so if they, you know, if they're really curious about, you know, this mulberry tree, for example, or, you know, how we get maple from a tree, right? Then we could help them do that and like bridge that gap for them while they're just so young. But I think that is, you know, when I think of, and I'm fairly new to the nature preschool, but, you know, when I tour with them, when I looked at these albums of these pictures I was looking for to send over to you, there was just like, it was like looking at a dream in slides, right? Like, I didn't know how many pictures were in this album. So, you know, I was like saving all these images and then I saw snow. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, this was just the fall. So then I see what they've done, all the artwork and like what that artwork looks like, you know, on the snow during the really cold time, you know, and then there were images of spring, right? And so watching, you know, like the amazement of a child looking at like what looked like bulbs growing up out of the ground. So you see this white snow, but then you see these green bulbs coming up. And I think it's, for me, the nature preschool and what really, you know, sets it apart is not only the teachers and how knowledgeable they are and how great they are at going with children's interests, but also this amazing classroom that we have. We have this 40-acre classroom that is, I mean, it's just, it's a dream, really. Like, I'm looking out of this window and just thinking, what is kids are going to be all in this space very soon.
Yes. How lucky. I mean, I grew up in Bethesda, Maryland, so I will have to visit because you're in D.C. So it's very curious for me. So
Yeah, I love that.
With that, what's do parents get surprised, or what surprises parents most after their child spends maybe a year in the nature preschool? You had mentioned that now you have children that are now have graduated and in high school.
Sure.
Do you
sure.
have parents that give you feedback on what surprises them?
Yes, absolutely. And so the first things that parents will say is, you know, how internalized this is for their kids, and how, you know, like I think about like a mom that like swatted a bug in her house, right, as she was cooking, and it made total sense. Like, you know, she's cooking and, you know, this, and she said it was like a knee-jerk reaction, you know, and how this young child was like, wait, why did you do that? And, you know, she was like cooking and like really focused on the cooking. And it really, you know, it really impacted, you know, she was like, I could have just grabbed it and taken it outside. And, you know, and the mom was like, I didn't think about that at all. And so it really is, you know, thinking about how, and you, what you had referenced, like, you know, children then, you know, instilling that, you know, and then becoming stewards themselves and, you know, taking ownership of this. But something else that it takes me to is how, and I'm laughing because this parent was just recently telling me how they wished for an outdoors kid. And were so excited, you know, when they had met me and saw, you know, the programs I was in before that still were focused on the outdoors, and how their kid just wanted to be outside all winter. And so here they are, like, wishing they had an iPad kid because they could just be inside, you know, drinking, you know, hot chocolate. But that parent was sharing how much they, as parents, became more outdoorsy and started to, you know, listen to bird calls more and just taking, you know, life is hard. It's busy, you know, that we have so much, you know, we have to get to these meetings on time, but we miss these birds that are singing. Or, you know, this another parent said that she had been hearing a sound that she didn't recognize, you know, and then finally realized it was a woodpecker. Mm-hmm. And she was like, had I been interrupted, you know, I wouldn't have thought, you know, far enough to think, what is that sound? You know, because there's construction happening. It could be anything. And, you know, when it was, when she realized that it was a woodpecker, she was just like fascinated and thought about this so much. And so I think parents also, like, they share feedback on how awesome it's been for their children and how much it's impacted them. And it's also impacted, you know, them as parents and them
people,
as adults.
Yeah.
You know, to like relive childhood, or, you know, look deeper.
Yeah. Taking that pause, taking, mm-hmm. I think nature has a way of being a third teacher and offering mm-hmm. us this pause. And so when the children are interested, obviously then that pulls in the parents, and then it becomes this beautiful domino effect. So the children end up being the leaders.
Sure.
And I love that description. So with that, is there something children learn outdoors that simply can't be replicated inside the classroom?
I think there is, or not as easily. Like, I think about, like, when children are, you know, doing artwork or working with a light material, and wind comes, right, and it blows it away. Or, you know, when they're engaged in like a story or something, and a squirrel like runs past. Right. Those are those moments, or when a leaf, you know, falls like on a child's head, there are moments of this like beautiful interruption. Right. Or even sometimes it's chaos, like to watch like five artworks just fly by and kids are like, no, I got to go catch this. And if it goes out of the fence, it's like, wait a minute. And so I think about that, like these beautiful interruptions or these opportunities for kids to just think again of where they are and what's happening around them, and how much this interruption doesn't end what you're doing, right? Like, you can definitely go back and grab this paper and come over. Or I think about once when a paper felt like it's like a muddy space, and a kid was like, oh, you know, now it's ruined. And I'm forgetting the book now, but there's a book that a child makes like a mistake, and then, you know, and it evolves into this beautiful artwork. And so I imagine, like, oh, wait a minute, like, you know, mud could be, you know, a medium, or it could be something that we use, and how that inspired like this whole beautiful like theme of painting with mud and painting with sticks, you know, and painting with different materials, outdoor materials that could resemble a brush. Yeah. And so I
think
there, yeah, I mean, I love the outdoors, and I love being outside, reading outside, you know, doing artwork outside. And then also like working. You know, it's kind of like dancing with the outdoors. And, you know, if the wind comes, you know, what happens? Or like if a bird comes, you know, that might inspire something. Or if, you know, a squirrel comes by, you know, it might let us know, oh, we got to clean up our food a little bit more. We've been dropping way too much food on on the ground. And now that's why the squirrels are here.
It's so interesting you say that, because I think what you're describing is what may cause educators to have fear. That they, oh, it's too windy, so because it won't be perfect, you know, quote unquote perfect. Yeah. And it's actually those things that you just described, the squirrel and the wind and the thing flying, which could be considered chaos, but it does end up being sort of the core memory of the learning.
Absolutely.
What you just described, which is just, it's brilliant. So that is really an incredible message for all our listeners to really think about, you know, when things may seem like they're going awry, that's a wonderful opportunity to really look at. It's not a challenge, to really flip it over into an opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for seeing that.
Yeah. It's brilliant. So I want to just kind of go a little bit into risk, resilience, and confidence, and how, again, us, because that's a perfect segue into us adults, we may worry about scraped knees and climbing trees and getting dirty. And you talked about just your own childhood memory of climbing that wonderful tree and just hanging out up there. How do you help families rethink this? Because you have a very large property, which you can explore. So I'm sure there's some risk play and muddy play and all sorts of types of different play. And how do you help families kind of rethink this nature-based education and risk piece element that always seems to come into the picture?
Yeah, I often start with just sharing experiences, right? And one of the things that I share is that I've seen children get hurt inside way more than I've seen them get hurt outside, right? Like the indoors, you know, it's these really like slick, clean floors, you know, these beautiful wooden tables that have corners. You know, there are hooks everywhere for us to hang up our outdoor stuff. And then outdoors, right, like our playgrounds are, you know, they have a lot of wood chips, right? And so when kids fall, you know, they don't get as hurt as they do when they're inside. But then it also is, and I think this is the piece that connects to like the confidence, right? I think it's very important to like not help kids as much as you might want to. Like getting onto a stump or, you know, crossing a fallen tree that is now a bridge over a pond. Because I find that if kids could get themselves onto a tree or onto a structure, right, that means that they've already attempted it 40, 50 times, right? Mm-hmm. And they now know, okay, this is where I have put my foot, you know, or this is where I'm going to place my hand, right? And we definitely help them through and coaching them, right? But rather than helping them by grabbing them and lifting them, right? It's asking them, you know, where, you know, what's your plan? You know, or where are you going to put this hand? Where are you going to put this foot? Right. So it's definitely about, you know, encouraging and supporting children to do things as much as they can on their own and to have small failures, right? To have small drops and small falls, you know, a little scrape, you know, from the bark of the tree. And then once they get there, once they, you know, climb on that stump or climb that tree or cross that big tree stump or big log, they are, that moment is, you know, I don't love recording kids, but there are times that I wish I had those glasses that record because seeing the look on their face, and sometimes it's half a second, right? But seeing that look, I was like, okay, there, those last like 3 weeks were so worth it. And then it's also reminding, I mean, it's either telling, educating, reminding parents that, you know, you can't teach confidence. Like you can't give a kid confidence. Like they have to build that up themselves. It has to come from, you know, because some kids are just, you know, there are some kids that just run into a playground and climb a tree, you know, and doing something that we think is, you know, beyond is like normal for them because they've been doing it. Right. But then there are other kids who are, you know, will come in and, you know, go on a swing, you know, and, you know, self-regulate for a little while. and don't explore, you know, as much. And so there are times that, you know, the biggest thing for a child could be, you know, for us could be like, oh, you know, he's been doing that. That's, you know, normal. It's, you know, but then the smallest thing for a kid could be, you know, could be for us, could be everything for them, you know, just crossing, you know, this stream or finding two rocks that are, you know, the shapes they were looking for. It's not always like big things like, you know, I climbed this massive tree, you know, but I was able to, you know, find 10 shells that, you know, look a lot alike, or, you know, I was able to find, you know, the papa shell for this story that I was telling, you know, where I had found these old three small shells, you know, and I was looking for this bigger one to be like, you know, the dad shell, and they finally found it on their own, right? I saw the shell a long time ago, and I couldn't feel like hear the shell, but then there it is. And so it's, you know, I think it's also important to remind families like, hey, you know, we have, you know, we're first aid trained, you know, we're CPR trained, we have, you know, first aid kits with us. You know, we bring our water bottles, we bring our gear, right? That's something else too, like really setting kids up for success around the right gear, right? Because if they have on a cold, you know, on a wet day, you know, if they have rain boots, their feet are not going to hurt after a 30-minute hike, right? But if they don't have the right shoes, I mean, it's painful to be in cold, wet socks. And I think that's too when like kids could get hurt is when they're not comfortable with being pushed to do something that they don't want to do. But if we create, you know, environments for them to take calculated risk, you know, they can build that up. You know, thinking back to my childhood, like I explored so much on my own. And, you know, I don't want the kids to get hurt as much as I did. Like my mom had this joke where we had an anniversary with the hospital. Like I broke something every year. And it was, you know, and so it's not about that. But it is about, I learned so much, right? There was so much through this. And I took a lot of risks. And I would say that I didn't get as hurt as people would think, for sure. Yeah.
But I love what you said about sort of calculated, but maybe small, what was it? Small failures, almost?
Small failures, yeah.
Small failures. And I think that our children today don't know how to fail, because I think we are there so close to catch them, or so they don't. But I think those small, I love that, the small failures builds that confidence. And again, you cannot give them confidence. They have to sort of build that up. And it has to come through those small failures. So you want to, again, create this incredible environment and everything, you know, with the gear and everything that you've talked about. It's, I love the term that you say, there's this small failures, and really talking it through and figuring out, okay, if you're going to climb this tree, what's your plan? And that's sort of giving them the skills that will enable them to be free, really. And that's what we ultimately, we don't want to send them off to the wilderness without any skills. So we are sort of the guides and the facilitators, but we don't want to be the net.
Exactly that. Exactly.
Like, we don't want to be the net. Like, okay, I'll carry you. And
so, right, because we're not always going to be there.
We're not always going to be there. So yeah, thinking about all that, it's great. So what advice would you give parents who want more nature in their children's lives, but they just really don't know where to start?
Yeah. I would say just look outside, right? Like there's, you know, whether it's, let's say, live in an apartment of a high rise, you know, if you can't get outdoors, you know, bring the outdoors in. But if you can, like I work with, you know, other teachers and other schools that are way more in the city, you know, where they have access to a very small playground, right? And there might just be one tree, and just going to that tree over four seasons and revisiting that tree makes such a difference. But I think it's also not thinking about nature as being separate from, right? Mm-hmm. But us being a part of it. Like your home is nature. It's in the middle of nature somewhere, right? There might be a tree, you know, two blocks away, but it's somewhere, right? And you can see nature on the way to the grocery store, or on the way to, you know, your cousin's house, or on the way to the doctor or the dentist. So maybe thinking like, yes, here at Nature Forward, we're, you know, incredibly lucky to have this amazing sanctuary, but you don't need to have a national park next to your home in order for your kids to, you know, be in nature and love it. Maybe it's also going back to what you and I had talked about pausing, right? Because mm-hmm. Nature could be, you know, a small bug that's, you know, crossing the sidewalk, or the small bug that was outside of the car, but sometimes in the car.
Right. Like
you got
right.
in, you know, and so maybe not feeling overwhelmed by, you know, I need to know every name of every bug, and I need to know, you know, what kind of tree this is in order to teach my child about the outdoors. Like, I think, and I would imagine that, you know, you and a lot of the listeners agree with this sometimes, or maybe most times, right? The questions are more important than the answers, right? Like,
right.
I think about, you know, when I think about parents that, you know, share with me, yeah, but I don't know as much as you do about the outdoors. And I was like, well, you know, I got here by asking questions and by making mistakes. And it really could be, you know, asking a child, well, why do you think that that happened to
right.
that tree? Or thinking about like when the roots of a tree, you know, like impact a sidewalk, right? And thinking about like, you know, what was there first and why is that sidewalk breaking? And just having that child wonder,
yeah.
they may not have the answer to that. Maybe 3 years later, they'll hear something or read something and be like, oh, wait, that's right. And that's something else too. Like sometimes kids are not interested in nature, you know, and you can't, you know, push it or force it, right? You want to expose them and hope that one day they will. And I think that, you know, if we take them to their preferred nature places or their, you know, what interests them, they eventually, I mean, the natural world is insanely beautiful, right? Like it inspires, you know, artists and, you know, fashion designers and architects. We look at bees and how they, you know, build and then take inspiration and realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to use, you know, this shape for this structure. Or when you're thinking about like what colors, you know, go great together on, you know, an artwork or on a gown, right? Like looking at a flower and seeing, you know, those color combinations and the contrast. So I think it's that too, like finding the beauty in even the smallest places in nature. And then also, right, pausing, right? Like it's not easy to stop
yeah.
and wonder, but those, you know, 15 minutes that we pause for really could impact a lot.
Huge. That short amount of time. But I wanted to just pull back that piece that you talked about when parents think, and maybe even us as educators think, oh, well, I can't be a nature-based educator because I don't have all the facts. I don't know all the names of the flowers, and I don't know all the names of the bees and the different types of bees and so on and so forth. And yep. what's beautiful about this work is that you don't need to be an expert to
Absolutely.
Open the door to go outside.
Yeah.
And that when you were describing even the tree the tree, you know, is growing under the sidewalk, and that exploration and the wonder and whatnot, that is where us as parents and educators can really learn. It is about the question and learning alongside of the children, saying,
for sure.
Let's find, and being a librarian, let's go find a book that might answer that question, but let's do it together. And when kids see you in sort of a vulnerable state, and
Absolutely.
Not like vulnerable bad, but vulnerable, like I don't have all the answers, there is a beautiful element there that is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
yes. yeah.
Listeners, you do not need to be an expert to become or enjoy nature. And just as you were describing with how it inspires so many different genres, it is incredible to think about.
It really is.
So as a preschool director, I want to hear much more about your program. What kind of culture are you hoping to build for both the children and the teachers and just even your greater community? Because it sounds like an incredible space that you already have. But what's the culture that you're trying to emulate?
Yeah, so I think it's a perfect segue because it really is a culture of wonder, a culture of curiosity, a culture of care, right? And so it's like, I am so excited, especially after this morning, you know, going through so many images of what the last year looked like. The teachers here at Nature Forward are experts in so much, and they all seem to have a little bit more of an expertise. Like I hear, you know, one of the teachers really knows a lot about what we can eat, what we can't eat. I remember I went on a hike with a group, the younger classroom, they're called the Saplings. And at some point, you know, I was toward the back, I was the caboose of the group. And I saw the teacher at the front putting on two gloves, right? Like two medical latex kind of gloves. And she was like, oh, you know, we spotted some poison ivy. And so I'm going to use these gloves. We're going to get it. And then taught me the difference, right, between poison ivy, you know, and here is an example and something else that I forget what it was, but it's a plant that looks very similar to poison ivy, right? But it didn't have alternating stems coming out. It was a little bit different. And so, you know, going through this with teachers and seeing that culture is there already, but it's just extending it, it's fostering it some more. And just this culture of care, right? And of wonder and curiosity, and also of being a part of the natural world, right? And we're a part of it. It helps us. We help it. You know, we have to do certain things, you know, like water the plants when there is a drought, or making sure that we're planting, you know, not planting invasives. So I think it's that, like, just this, like, I would love to have a culture of, you know, just like constant or frequent like feedback and seeing, you know, like, what do we need? You know, what does our community need? You know, what do our grounds need? How can we be responsive to what's happening outdoors? Yeah, and just a culture of wonder. Like, I think it's, I think asking questions, asking yourself questions, giving yourself time to wonder is so important. Yeah. I know that we're very used to like needing to have answers immediately, you know, and we have this inbox full of emails that have to get a response and we have to do that. But I think younger kids, you know, they don't have to answer all these emails just yet. or they could, you know, they do have the time to, you know, spend an extra 5 minutes. And I would just love to do that for the kids and for the staff as well. Like, I do think that there are times that life becomes real, you know, after 3 o'clock, you know, when you leave. You know, but that 8:30 to 2:30 or 3 o'clock that we're with the kids, also, you know, allowing teachers to, you know, be fully present and wonder and be curious and excited. Yeah. Yeah.
And I hear a lot of we. I hear a lot of we in your language, which makes it a real community, a community of educators, a community of teachers. I hear even a we with you in the land, connecting with the land. And it just is true leadership and a true just creating that vision. And again, it's not just one person. It's a community. So you're emulating that. So how do you keep your teaching team inspired as you are and connected to this mission?
I think it's important to get to know them, right? Like, yes, we all have a love and appreciation for the outdoors, but then also is, you know, what do you like to do outside of school, you know? Or, you know, you can teach a concept in so many different ways, right? And you can teach care and curiosity with animals, with bugs, you know, with paper, with paint. And so I think it's getting to know them, you know, reminding them that of how important the work is that we're doing. And at the same time, in order to do that work, you know, like, I think about the importance of, like, you have to fill your cup before you can fill someone else's cup, right? You can't pour from an empty cup. It's a big focus of mine now as I start this new role. You know, I had some really awesome, you know, I'm thinking about this now. Like, I went on one hike, you know, with both groups and connected deeply on this one hike. I got to know them very well. And then they're awesome. They invited me over in the summer before they went off for their, you know, for their time off. They invited me over for like cookies and tea, and I got to talk to them and see, you know, what they were going to do this summer, what they were interested in.
So they're really people.
They're really people.
They're people. Absolutely. And it's just, yeah, it's getting to know, it's not just a job, and it's sort of getting to know people as people and community, and that you're all kind of striving towards this one mission, which is a beautiful. Sure, yeah.
And we'll spend so much time together too, right? So I think something else is really understanding like how they like to be celebrated, you know, how they like to, you know, some people love being acknowledged publicly, whereas some getting a letter, you know, a little card that says thank you, you know, means a lot to them. So I think it's that too, like, we're here to work, you know, we all have different, you know, I have to do certain things, I have to do different things. We're part of a team, but we also are, we have to love our days. We have to really, you know, want to be here and want to spend time here. especially with young children, right? Because
it's, you know, can be exhausting.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's that. Like, they're people.
But they also feel it's exhausting, but they fill you up at the same time. So it's just like... So in looking forward, where do you see nature-based education heading over the next decade? It's a tough one.
I think there will be somewhat of a divide. Like, I do think that there are people, organizations that are moving toward very much of like a tech, you know, like how can we use more machines?
In nature, or just generally?
So nature-based education, I think that there is a big movement in nature-based education, actually, right? Because I do think that a lot of other more traditional spaces are moving in a way that is going to produce, right? But not necessarily do the things that we think should be happening, right? They're not going to connect as deeply. And so my hope and what I think it'll be like in 10 years is I think we'll truly have more nature-based programs, or I would love to see more nature-based education in public schools, right? Or in more like more traditional schools. But I think that it could really get to a place where education is nature-based even without realizing it, or right? Like this whole idea of this nature-based preschool being so progressive, I think 10 years from now, it won't be seen like that. It will be seen as much more mainstream. Yes. And that is hope.
That is a hope.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to work towards that. Yeah.
We have to. And I think that's something, aspiration.
There's no question.
Yeah. Like, you and I have to make this happen.
It is.
And our listeners, right, have to also do this. And so, yes, my hope is, and I do think that we could do this. I think that it wouldn't be easy, but...
If Finland can do it, we can do it. There's an urgency to it that I've never felt before. I was like, oh, yeah, it's, you know. But now, over the years, I feel like there's a real urgency.
More and more to this work.
And I do, like, it's a hope, but I almost think it's like it's a necessary. And then we really have to continue these conversations so we can make it real.
Absolutely. So,
there it is. We've said it, Carlos.
Thank you, Victoria.
It's
going
to happen. It's going to happen. Okay, my closing question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Imagine a child listening to this conversation 20 years from now. What's one lesson about nature and about life you hope they carry with them forever?
Yeah. I would hope that it is that they have the power to be able to help nature in a way that it needs to be helped and give back, right? Like, I think about what we were just talking about, how, you know, it's important for us to do the work that needs to happen for nature-based education and hopefully other kinds of education, you know, to be this truly amazing education model. And so I hope that they're taking away, and I hope that 20 years from now, they think, you know, I'm glad that, you know, I grew up closer to nature, or I'm glad that I, you know, took an interest and I was supported in my interest. Because I think that sometimes, and it happens to me, you know, we can read something where we think, oh, it's too late. Or we read something that says, well, you know, I'm not this, I don't have a degree in botany or this kind of, you know, tree science, and so I can't do it. But I hope that they know that they can. And it's all about, you know, these small moments, right? Like, you know, whether it's these, you know, really small attempts of climbing this big tree, right? That's how you eventually get there. Or it's, you know, just every day, you know, watering a plant. And eventually, you know, it grows deep in the fruits that it, you know, it can find the water that it needs itself, right? I hope that they do take away that they have, as small as they are or as city living as they are, that they can make an impact, for
sure.
There's a core
something in there.
For sure, yes.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, what a great question, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Carlos, so much.
Thank you, too.
It's been absolutely wonderful. And all your information, if someone wanted to find you, where could they find you? It will be in the show notes, but you can...
It'll be in the show notes. So I'm on Instagram, and it's Carlos R. Duque, D-U-Q. My last name is Duque. Yeah, and then you can look up Nature Forward. So natureforward.org. Wonderful greater organization that the Nature Preschool lives under and within.
Yes, we're going to have you back for an Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk with the amazing photos that you were talking about.
Awesome.
So we will have you back, Carlos, for that.
I'll look forward to that. Thank you so much. And really, it's equally as inspiring to talk to you as it is, you know, to be outdoors with the kids. And it's just really wonderful that you have this platform and that you're using it to spread so many awesome stories and educate. Yeah, thank you so much.
Wow, your energy is amazing. So it's a ripple. So we'll get this work done one way or another. Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Before we sign off, we have an exciting opportunity for educators looking to bring learning to life outdoors. Consider enhancing your teaching journey with the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program empowers educators to transform any outdoor space into a dynamic learning environment. By joining, you'll gain skills to inspire students and foster a deeper connection with the natural world. Interested in making a difference with outdoor learning? Visit www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more about enrolling in the certification program. Don't miss the chance to expand your teaching toolkit and inspire the next generation with the joy of outdoor education. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to our podcast for more inspiring content. Until next time, keep inspiring young minds.